I am Emmanuel. Emmanuel Umar. Here the combination. Emmanuel plus Umar. That's the combination of the name. As the pastor have said, I am from Nigeria, from one of the small tiny village, very small, maybe with a population of about 1,000, 2,000, something like that. And I want to thank God for the opportunity and the grace given to me to be here and also to speak to this unique congregation. You are unique congregation of learned people, a congregation of people all over the world. So it's great. And when I was asked to speak, I said, why me? The first place, when I joined this congregation, I was not comfortable to say my identity, because I knew one day I will be asked to speak. But my hiding did not scare me from the assignment I had to be. So I give God the glory for everything. Before we continue, let's wait for the letter of Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 2. The letter of Peter, chapter 2, 1 Peter, chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1 from the Revised Standard Version. From verse 1 through 12. The word of the Lord says, so put away all malice and all guile and insincerity and envy and all slander. Like newborn babies, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, for you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And he who believes in him will not be put to shame. You therefore, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, has become the head of the corner. And a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall, for they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of God's own the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I beseech you, as aliens and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Maintain good conduct among the Gentiles, so that in case they speak against you as wrongdoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your name. We ask this morning, as we have come with yearnings to hear from you, Lord, speak to us and minister to each one of us, that we will all go back home satisfied and full of your blessings. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was asked to share my experience of my conversion, and so many things came to my mind, but I ended picking this part, and I titled this discourse as "Called Out to Make a Difference." Called out to make a difference. I have been called out to make a difference. You have been called out to make a difference. And let me begin by sharing my experience. To some who are here in this congregation, I have shared some of my experience in private. But I am asking you to allow me or permit me to share it again for the benefit of those who have never had this experience from me. And the first one that I would like to share is the Elijah kind of experience that I had. I had a kind of a contest, sort of, like the way Elijah had his experience. As our pastor first mentioned, I have the, do I call it grace, that God allowed me to have a test of three religions. One, the typical traditional way of worship. Some call it African religion, but it's not African. It's not only secluded to Africa. That type of worship that I tested so many years ago, have found its way and is practiced in places like New Orleans, the Caribbean island, and that is the, they give it a new name, voodoo. You heard of that? Huh? Okay. Voodoo had its origin from Africa. So, I had been going to the shrine, knew some of the words to be said, some of the rules, guiding rules before you go to enter that shrine,
you have to follow these rules. You don't just go anyhow to the shrine. Wow. But I tell you, it's all lie. It's all lie. It's just to glorify the demons, the spirits. And after that, I was converted to Islam. While in Islam, I had a little experience, because it was not that a long period. But the two have something that connects them together, that they are similar. And what connects the two is that you don't ask questions about what you don't know, but rather obey. That is the syndrome. Don't ask questions. If you ask questions, then you make the gods to be angry, and you will be punished for that. So these are the, but we are not going into that stuff today. That's not for, that's not what I want to talk about. And that special year, 1979, is unique. I will not forget it. When the Lord called me out, He called me out of darkness into the light. I accepted the Lord during the revival service, conducted by missionaries that came from the state, Alabama. I still remember the topic. Their theme, come and see. That was the theme, come and see. That was how I was invited to be at that revival. It was awesome. I saw the Lord. The way I saw the Lord, it's difficult for me to explain it to you, because it's an experience that is unique to me. And after that, I continued to serve the Lord. The year 1987, I received another higher calling. I call it higher calling because it has a specific assignment. Got that calling into pastoral ministry. So I joined this group, the Ministry of Baptist Missionaries that were working in my area at that time, called Volunteer Church Planting Movement. And so, when I joined the ministry, I was taken to my own station. And that ministry, it's a ministry that focuses on working with the church, planting churches the way Paul did. So our assignment then was to go and plant the church, train leaders. After 3 months, we will leave. And I did that kind of work. And it was during the assignment that I had the Elijah kind of contest experience. I arrived to this one small village in the month of March. In Nigeria, our early rains come or begins in the month of March. By April, it will be stable. So that by May, planted crops all over will be green. So when I arrived in this village, there was a delay in the rain in that particular region. It will be cloud, it will rain, but only the other parts of or the side of the vicinity that will get rainfall, and that particular area there was no rainfall. And so the local head of that place, summoned the whole heads of the families. And he was the local chief. At the same time, he was also the priest of their shrine. He now told them, all right, look, what you have done by inviting this small boy to cause this trouble. Now the gods are angry. There is no rainfall. Therefore, what we need to do by tomorrow, we will all go to the shrine and make sure that this young man leaves at dawn before we get to the shrine, to cleanse our land. Wow, there was really trouble. Three heads of families out of about 15 objected. They said no. They will not go to the shrine, and the small boy will not leave the village. Then he now turned and said, okay, now you are responsible for all that we are going through. Now at the end of the discussion, the long discussion they had, they now came to me and asked me, please, we want peace here. We don't want to be engaged in a kind of unhappy situation that will result to fight and whatever. So would you please leave? So what happened? Then one of them now narrated the story. I said, oh, I would be glad to see the priest. After all, before I came here, he was aware. So why should I leave continuously, secretly? I would have to see him. So they met me in his house. I now told him, look, I will be happy if you go to the shrine and you pray and there will be rain. I will stop following the religion I am following and then join you. Would you be happy with that? He looked at me and said, you this naughty boy, are you sure of what you are saying? I said, yes, I am sure. He said, okay, you will not leave. You wait here. If everything succeeds, we will come back and we will now take you to the shrine and then introduce you to the gods. I said, fine and good. I went back to my room. I knelt down. I said, God, this is your time. Not I, but you. Your integrity is in question. Therefore, if you let heaven open and there will be rainfall here, everything is finished, and I am finished also. So there will be no rain. If you are the true living God that I have come here to testify about you, there will be no rainfall. So it happened. They took a very big black
ram
with no spot, and a he-goat, red in color, with no spot, to the shrine. They spent the whole day. They drank, they ate, they danced. Some did not return home. They spent the night in the shrine until the following morning. The man came and said, okay, they will bring him four. They will bring him four. Said, fine and good. But the three other families did not follow them, they remained at home. One of them came to me and said, what do we do? This is what is going on, what do we do? Can't you do something? I said, something will happen. Don't worry. I told the woman, if I am here to declare the name of the Lord, then there will be no rain, not even the sign of cloud to be spotted in this vicinity for the next 3 weeks, 21 days. This is my word to you. They said, they looked at each other. Is it true? I said, yes. After the 21 days, we will pray for 3 days and they will pray. They said, all right. They went back home. It happened. There was no sign of cloud. The vegetation, the crops that started germinating with the first rain they got, dried up complete. And there was total heat. At the end of the 21 days. Look, I told the priest that I give him the grace of 7 days. After 7 days, do not claim that it was as a result of your prayers that rain have come. Just forget it. After 7 days, if there will be no rainfall, do not claim that, oh, it was because he went to the shrine. He said, yes, I believe you. 7 days, if it passed no rainfall, then I will believe you. I said, fine. And that was what happened. 21 days, no rainfall. Then I called the three men. We started our prayer and fasting on a Friday. We spent Saturday, Sunday, and I told them that we will end Sunday evening and we break our fast in the church. And lo and behold, God glorified his name. When we gathered in the church on Sunday evening, they were a little bit skeptical. Because throughout on Sundays, from morning till the time we went to the church to break our fast, there was no sign of cloud. But while we were there, there was a little wind that started blowing. Then I told them, that is the sign of rain. Let's be fast and quick and be dismissed. It is going to rain heavily. It saw it happen. They could not believe what I said. Some of them left their dishes of food because after we said the prayer, I picked my own food and then I moved out of the building. The wind became so strong that they had to leave everything and run out to their houses. It rained for 38 hours non-stop. That was what the Lord did. There was a stream that was passing by, I think it's about 3 or 4 of my height deep. But the stream got filled up to the brim and then moved into the house of the priest, because his house was the last one to the stream. Their shrine was pulled down. Everything in the shrine was pulled off, removed by the water, taken away. It was a real flooding. It flooded at the time. He was asleep. It was the rain or the water from the stream that flooded into the house, filled his room, and on the process of turning on the bed, he just put his hand in the water. I did not know. Then he cried out because he woke up everywhere water in the room. He now screamed for help, and one of his sons had him, and they ran out. The son was also battling with moving things in the room because of the water. He now told the young man, go and tell that boy to tell that his stubborn God to stop this rain, because I may end up getting drowned. That was my experience in the year 1988. Called to make a difference. Each one of us has been called. I don't know what you were doing before the Lord called you out of me to join him in the vineyard. Each one of us is a witness. You are a witness. I am a witness. Sometimes our experience will turn out to be painful and bitter. Yet the Lord is present with you. He is there. He knows what you are passing through. Carrying your cross is not a simple task. When he says, whoever wants to follow me must what? You know the verse now. Must what? Take your cross. What does it mean to take the cross? In taking the cross, you will definitely sweat. Even eating the food that you cook, you will sweat. But he that called you is faithful. And so back to our text. There are so many things in that text, but we are not going to look at all of them. In verse 9, it says, but you are chosen, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you. To declare the wonderful deeds of him that have called you. He have called you. You are here. And one thing also that thrilled my mind, the Lord have called me, yes. I moved to other different places, yes. But why in Jerusalem? Lama Yerushalayim. Now, Lama Yerushalayim. Why? why Jerusalem? There are thousands that want to come here, but they did not have that opportunity. I know of my own brother who had been pleading not to come to Jerusalem, but to have someone give him gift from Jerusalem. Unfortunately, he went home to be with the Lord in June 2012. And that was the same month I got the admission that I am coming here for study. So he went home with that desire. He couldn't get a gift, just a gift. Not to come here, but to get the gift from here. He couldn't. But you are here. You are fortunate to be here. To walk on this holy land. Why, James, in your calling, my fellow brothers, I welcome you to Jerusalem. You are welcome to Jerusalem. But ask yourself, why are you in Jerusalem? There are many of your colleagues whom you are working with them. They did not have the opportunity to come here. Why are you? You have a special assignment, but why are you being here? As we move ahead in the experience of our calling, there are several things that come on our ways. They confront us every day. There are distractions on our way. The experience of the wise men. We are in the Advent.
Is this it?
Matthew. Someone to read Matthew chapter 2. I want to say something with regards to the distraction in the calling. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Just verse 1. Someone to read aloud, please. Yes, yes.
Now, verse 2, right?
Yes. No. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem.
Yes, verse 2.
Saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.
Great. Okay. Now ask yourself. They left from where? From the east. What was it that was leading them all the way from the east to Jerusalem? What is it? The star. Now, when they get to Jerusalem, what happened? Where is their star? Nehilam. Disappeared. It is not the star that disappeared. They got distracted by the wonders of Jerusalem. You have been here. Let me ask my friends who are just arrived. In your rating, when you arrived, what can you say just in one word about Jerusalem?
Wow.
Yes, that's true. Wow. Now, in seeing the wow, many things will happen. You will even forget your briefcase. Of course. When you say wow, then the briefcase will be left there. And now you follow your secular eyes and your mind to what you said, wow.
Remember, the Jerusalem of today was not, or is not, the Jerusalem of yesterday.
But even with that,
the story says that there were magnificent buildings here in Jerusalem.
They were distracted. And so they ended up going back to ask their question in a wrong place that ended in the death of many.
You know the rest of the story. I don't have to tell you. But one thing we need to know in our experience as believers, the people called out, we are bound to face lots of challenges in our pilgrimage. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on the star. Let me end with this story. The last story that I want to end with was my experience in the Czech Republic, where our pastor had just visited and came back. 1999, I went to Niger on mission from the seminary. I was in the seminary in my final year, and I went there also to work with one church to plant another church. And so, when I arrived, I had another experience. I call it my rebirth. Rebirth in the sense that there were so many things I did not know. But after that experience, I learned. Lord. The church I worked with, the Baptist church, and they sent me, for those who knew Niger Republic, they sent me to a place called Harbanda, which is just an outskirts, another neighborhood from the capital, Niamey. And there, I met virtually an empty church. Though the mother church claimed that they had started the church, but with the intention of reaching out to the indigenous speaking people, but none of them responded. And so they extended an invitation to my seminary that if there's any student that wants to work with them to help them start this church, they will be happy for that. So I was the one that went, and as I started reaching out, this was what happened. There was an old woman whose house shared the boundary with the building we use as a church for worship. This woman claimed to be a healer, and so people were brought from different parts of Africa, not Niger alone, to her home. Not knowing that what she had been using, she had been invoking
this case. I know what I am saying here to some is strange, because you never had the experience, and it's difficult to understand. I don't know how to explain it better than the way I am saying now. But to cut our long story short, when we gather there to worship, according to her, because she confessed later on, that our prayers disturb her activity. When we sing and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, it disturbs her inner person and her activity in her home. And so, who is to be attacked? The one who is leading the sheep, of course. So now the attack, the revenge, turn back to me. I was whipped 3 times by an unseen force. This experience that I am telling you is terrible, is bad. I was scared. Someone is following me with a whip. The compound is bigger than this one. I run all the angles of the compound because it's painful. But still the whip. I cry. After running around, I remembered I had my room, so I had run into the room. I was crying bitterly. Fear came and gripped me. I started packing my things to leave me jail the following morning. But that gentle voice, Elijah wanted to see the Lord, isn't it? How was he able to find the Lord? You know the story? Still small voice. Then the voice now came and said, now you want to leave. So you think your life is more precious than the thousands that I asked you to come and lead them here. Then I stopped. But I was crying. I asked, why, Lord? Why this type of experience? I will ask John to read a passage. Ephesians chapter 6. There's something I want to say quickly. Ephesians 6, 10, 1 verse 10. Yes, John?
It's from here.
Yeah, you can read aloud, but I hear it from there.
All right. 10 to what?
To 18.
10 to 18?
Quickly, yes.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. So, why do I have to ask
John to read this passage, to remind us that in our journey, our experience is not only on good aspects of life. There are days that it will be painful. There are days that we will wish not to be in that particular situation. Yet, the Lord is present with you. I learned how to pray all kinds of prayer. This is what Paul said. Pray all kinds of what? Of prayer. I never knew what that means until that day, that particular night. You can pray while sitting, you can pray while standing, you can pray while rolling on the floor. I did that. And finally, I saw the Lord. The Lord has really appeared to give me the courage that, look, I am here. I know that you will experience this, but I send you for this purpose. I am here with you. When the Lord appeared, the forces that were in war with me disappeared immediately. I could not see the face, but I saw an exit of the being out of them, because the Lord appeared to encourage me. These are our experience. This was my experience. I don't know how yours is and will be. But trust the Lord. He has called. He called you to follow and obey. He called each one of us to be holy. That is from our text of 1 Peter. You are called to be holy. You are called to serve and offer spiritual sacrifice. This again reminds, brings the words of Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Worshiping the Lord, spiritual offering. Sometimes when we gather before the Lord, we sing songs. Okay, it's just like saying, okay, Lord, you see, I told you my problems, but you have not solved them. Okay, here I am in your presence. Look at my ugly face. No, that is not it. The Lord wants you to show that even in that situation, you are happy to praise His name. After all, what is the life all about without Jesus? Life without Jesus is total what? Nothing. So, He has called you to make a difference. To live a testimony, to testify to His name. Remember, He has paid all for you. He has paid all for me. That is why I am here in Jerusalem. That is why you are here too. That is why all of us can walk on the street with joy. Where Jesus is absent, there is total pain, frustration, difficulties, and all kinds of evil. Let's end with this song. I know you know it. Jesus paid it all. Father, we thank you. pure soul to your name. You have made it all for us, Lord. In our journey, you help us. As we move along with you, Lord, we ask that you hold each one of us by your hand. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Thank you because you are faithful. We begin this week with you. Your presence will rest upon each one of us. Thank you, Eternal Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Shalom.